Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you people from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. God says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.' Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, the one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God."
Thank you. It's always rather lonely up here when the choir sits in the back loft, but you sure sound wonderful. Our next scripture reading this morning is our gospel reading that comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 35 and following. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. As he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And one of the two who heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. I hear you are entering the ministry, the woman said down the long table, meaning no real harm. Was it your own idea or were you poorly advised? And the answer that she could not have heard, even if I had given it, was that it was not an idea at all. Neither my own nor anyone else's. It was a lump in the throat. It was an itching in the feet. It was a stirring in the blood at the sound of rain. It was a sickening in the heart at the sight of misery. It was a clamoring of ghosts. It was a name which, when I wrote it out in a dream, I knew was a name worth dying for, even if I were not brave enough to do the dying myself, and could not even mutter the name or know the name for sure. This is a passage from author Friedrich Buechner. Friedrich Buechner was a successful novelist. He had written several very successful novels, one of which was even considered at one time for a Pulitzer Prize. And he roamed into a church in New York City one day, and he heard a sermon. And he recalls that incident saying, I don't even remember what the sermon was about. All I remember is that when I came out of that church, my life had changed. This conversation I just recalled is one that he had with his grandmother. It's a famous line of his that people quote often, that I hear you were called to the ministry. Was it your own idea or were you poorly advised? I have to admit that question has rung in my head numerous times. And just about every minister friend that I have. Today we're talking about calling. Both of our scripture passages, the one from Isaiah and the one from Matthew, are about calling. Buechner says in another place about calling, and this is another of those quotes that has become quite familiar with many people. Buechner says, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger. Now, when he says the world's, he's not necessarily talking about the whole world. He's really talking about the world that's right in front of you. That place where you are. Let me read another passage from Buechner. And this is, again, a conversation with his grandmother. The way I understood it, my grandmother says, you were supposed to devote these talks, she's talking about his sermons, you were supposed to devote these talks to religious matters. Incarnation and grace and salvation were some of the noble words you used. I say that feet are very religious too. She says, that's what you think. And I say that if you want to know who you are, if you are more than academically interested in that particular mystery, you could do a lot worse than look to your feet for the answer. Introspection in the long run doesn't get you very far, because every time you draw back to look at yourself, you are seeing everything except for the part that drew back. And when you draw back to look at that part that drew back to look at yourself, you see again everything except for what you are really looking for. And so on. Since the possibilities for drawing back seem to be infinite, you are in your quest to see yourself whole, doomed always to see infinitely less than what there will always remain to see. Thus, when you wake up in the morning, called by God to be a self again, if you want to know who you are, watch your feet. Because where your feet take you, that is who you are. So this world that Buechner speaks of, this need of the world that meets our gladness, is where we are. There's a famous saying by Jon Kabat-Zinn that's, wherever you go, there you are. And that's very, very true. We live out our life faithfully right where we are. Where we are at the moment, where we are in time and space, where we are in the broader sense of deep time and space, the generation in which we have lived, in which we are living, the times of the world today. This is where we are. As some people say, it is what it is. And this is how we are called to live faithfully. Both of these stories, the one from Isaiah and the one from John, are about calling us into this place of faithfulness, which is not a different place at all. They are stories about calling us into faithfulness as a people, as a nation. This is the call of Isaiah. When Isaiah says, wake up, pay attention. And that's how that passage started out. Isaiah is talking to the people of Israel. He is talking to the nation. And most of the prophets of the Old Testament were speaking of nations. When he says, you are to be a light to the world, he's not talking necessarily about individuals. He's talking about the collective community of Israel. Speaking to the nations. And we are called as nations, even still. And when we read these prophetic words from Isaiah, we must consider, what is our time and what is our place? And sometimes it's not so pretty. Because if our calling is where we are, oftentimes we find ourselves in difficult times. We find ourselves in times of conflict. Conflict that seems to be unsolvable in many ways. But that's where we are. And we are called, as people of faith, to be the light in those times and in these times. We are called by the prophets. We are called by Isaiah to care for the needy, to pay attention to the outcast. When he says, wake up, pay attention, he's saying, look around you. And we are called to those places of need in the world. Remember Buechner's definition, it's where your great joy meets the world's great need. We are called into those places. And we're not called into places to tell people that we have all the answers and we've come to give them to you. We are called to be with others. We are called to welcome others. We are called to minister with others. Because in ministering with others, we are really ministering to ourselves. We are drawn back to that ancient koan of what we are looking for is what we are looking with. And as we reach out to others, we are also fulfilling some of our own needs, which are needs of the world as well. When Jesus begins to interact with those men that become what we have come to call the disciples, these are men who are in a time of conflict themselves. If you were listening carefully to the reading there from John, you notice that every one of the men mentioned are all from the same area. They're from the same village. They're all from the area of Nazareth. Nazareth, which is just over a ridge from the Sea of Galilee. They are all from this same area that is under the oppression of the Roman Empire and struggling to figure out how can they live in this imperial oppression. And Jesus comes along. And one of them says, we need to listen to this guy. And another says, well, why? He says, because I think he's the anointed one. Which in their vernacular was, this is a person that will lead us. And so they start sharing with one another. And they ask Jesus, they say, well, Jesus, where are you from? We might say, are you from another planet? Where are you from? And his response is, come and see. Come and see. If you'll notice, Jesus doesn't start giving answers. Jesus doesn't say, okay, this is how it's going to be. This is who I am. He says, come and see. Come and follow me. Be with me as I go around the countryside and to all the different towns. Come and see. It's another way of saying what Isaiah said. Wake up and pay attention to the world around you. If you want to know what your calling is, look at your feet. Because where you go, there you are. It is what it is. But we have this propensity to always be looking somewhere else. Usually to blame. Well, times are bad because it's their fault. Times are good because it's their fault. We have this propensity to always be looking out, looking beyond, when Jesus says, just come and see, follow, pay attention, wake up. There's an expression in our culture today called being woke. You've probably heard it. That's exactly what it means. It means just pay attention to the world around you, to what's going on. And within that world, meet the needs of others. And in meeting the needs of others, we begin to fulfill our own needs. Jesus calls these men, who we eventually call disciples, and they do follow him. They do come and see, and what they see is a person who accepts anyone who comes to him. What they see is a person who loves people for exactly who they are. What they see is a person who reaches out to meet the needs of others. What they hear is a person speaking out against injustice and inequality. And eventually, what they see is a person who gives his life in order to show the way of redemptive living. Let me say that again. To show the way of redemptive living. He shows us salvation by the way we live. Come and see. Follow me. Wake up. Pay attention. These are the words of the calling. Now, to someone who's not paying attention, it may seem foolish. It may seem crazy. They may say things like, was this your own idea or were you poorly advised? But just as Buechner responded, we really don't know. Because there's something that we really can't name. But we know It's the direction in which we go. And we know that that's where we are. It's time for us all to pay attention. It's time for us all to wake up. It's time for us to see what the effects of our nation are in the rest of the world. It's time for us to pay attention in our own neighborhoods. It's time for us to begin to look around and see who lives in the neighborhood around our church. Who are the people in the areas where we shop? Who are the people behind the checkout counters? It's time for us to wake up and pay attention, because this is where we are, and this is where we are called. Amen. My friends, we are all called. We are all called to be faithful where we are. To be faithful to the gospel. And the gospel, according to Jesus, is not some magic formula that we have to say and believe in order to go somewhere after we die. The gospel, according to Jesus, is to live a life of love and caring and humility. To be vulnerable enough to let others serve us, even as we seek to serve them. Jesus calls us into the places of our lives, the place where we are, and calls us to come and see, to pay attention, to look around our own lives and our own world and say, who is it that I need to be loving? And who is it that I need to let love me? And sometimes that's not an easy place to be. So let us go today. Let us go and see. Let us come and see. Let us pay attention. Let us wake up to where we are. Go in peace. Amen.